Janice Bengola. Our guest today is Mark R. Elsis. That is E-L-S-I-S. And he is sharing a document. It's actually more than 97 pages. Your 97 pages just is dedicated to the history. And then you go into Holocaust revisionism. And people can read this document at holocaustrevisionism.com. It is well worth sharing with your friends. And Joe emailed a comment. He said, when you present these facts, which you and others have gathered to the average white guilted, and he spelt that G-U-I-L-T-E-D, guilted family or friend, they typically respond with, and he quotes, you can't blame an entire people for the actions of a few, or I know lots of good Jews who just want to get along. How do you respond when people say that to you?
I used to be one of these people. I was always taught to get along with everybody. And I have come around in my view on this. And thank you for this question, because it's a very good one. And it, like I said, it's taken me time to get where I am now to say what I'm about to say on this issue, which is, as I began somewhere in this Holocaust revisionist document, in my 1.5 page, right up front disclaimer, I say, where are all the honorable Jews? That, why aren't they writing about what I have put forth here in these 170 pages? And 1,000-plus sourced hot links. Why do I have to put my neck on the guillotine to do this? Why hasn't any righteous, good Jew done this? And, I mean, you know, here's another thing. You have, and yeah, I'm sure, you know, there are Jews that are, many of them, that don't even know any better. But yet, they realize deep down, I mean, I use the, sort of the metaphor of an onion. You know, you have what is known as the good Jew, and that's the onion. Huh? And you peel just one layer of the onion off, and you start getting down to their Judaism. You would say, such as, what do you think, you know, you say something derogatory about them killing little boys throwing rocks in Palestine, and you'll see their Jewry come out. Or you say, who's running who's running the central banks of the world? Why is it that every Treasury secretary and head of the Fed is a Jew? And you know, Goldman Sachs and all the rest. And you know, Jamie Dimon and Blankfein and all these people and Bernanke and now Lou, another Treasury Secretary Jew. I mean, they're all Jews. And the head of the cover things, the SECs are Jews too, the Securities Exchange Commission, to cover up all their shenanigans. So you point these facts out and they start defending it. So instead of saying, oh my God, you're right, they will collapse back into this tribal mentality that has been instilled in them, which is the problem, the essence of the problem we have here, is that, like I said earlier in the first hour, they've been kicked out of, you know, 79 countries and up to 5, maybe more, that I know of, times. And they come back, and they keep coming back. And this is from people throughout the world, throughout all times, throughout religions, throughout different governments, ideologies. All the different people have the same thing about these people. And so, you know, there is only a few people that have, major Jews that have come out and said anything against the Jews. And I'll name them after the break.
All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
So ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendovite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Mark R. Elsis, and his website is HolocaustRevisionism.com. Alrighty. We're talking about the good Jew and the onion.
Right.
Okay. Yes.
It's
they
making
vote
me cry.
As a block. They vote it's, as a block. They are so well connected. They do not want to be ostracized from their community. And whether you're talking about secular or religious Jews, they work the same way.
I know three Jews, and if anybody else knows any more, bring them forth to me. One was Benjamin Freeman in a speech in 1961. That was a rather good speech, undercovering. He was sort of an inside man. Anyway, another one was Harold Rosenthal gave an interview in 76. And then David Cole, what he did with his Auschwitz movie and so forth. So these are three Jews that more or less got out of their Jewish box and illuminated the world somewhat about the inside story of the Jews. Now, once again, I don't know of any others. I'm sure there's been others I don't know of, but I know a lot of information about this now, and the fact that there aren't any that are coming out espousing or repudiating the most ludicrous things of the Holocaust or the atrocities of what happened in Russia and in Soviet Union, or the Armenians, or as we get into other things, just unbelievable. Why aren't these people saying anything? So, and look, a lot of the Jews are like a lot of everybody. They're just, they don't want to know. And so, okay, whatever. And so when you're dealing with, you know, these so-called good friend Jews, well, see how really good friends they are. Open up, like I said, with Palestine and see how they hit you back right away. Be very diplomatic about it. Don't be confrontational. Do it matter-of-factly and with good common sense and with love in your heart. And tell them fact upon fact upon fact and see how they react. And, well, it'll tell you if they're a good Jew or not, you know, or a good human or not. Or will they defend the Jews or their own tribe, which, by the way, almost every one of them will. Once you unpeel the onion, more than two or three layers, they're all Jews. And this is what I didn't want to realize even 8 years ago. And it's a very, it's like scary. This is why they keep on committing, and it's for their own good. As I said earlier, if they're not realizing it, so they keep on committing the same atrocities. And now, of course, they have almost every central bank in the world, and now they have what I believe is between 500 and 800 nuclear weapons. This is my own theory. I don't know if I've ever espoused this before. I do believe that under diplomatic immunity, they've brought in grapefruit-sized atomic weapons to every major city on the planet. I came up with this many years ago. I said, what would I do if I was these people? And they've said, by the way, we don't have any, we're not letting inspectors in, but yet they've threatened the world with the Samson option, which means we'll explode all our nuclear weapons. And here's another thing, a big question, which I don't know if I've ever brought up, which is, do they have enough nuclear material to create what is known as nuclear winter? And I've done some small-time calculations, and I believe they're very close to it, which we're talking in the annihilation of our species by them detonating their 500 to 800 nuclear weapons.
Well, so, they don't even have to do that because look at all of the people that have been killed. Look at the 60 million that were killed during World War II. Look at the 57 million with abortion. Look at all of the people who are dying from all of the aspartame and the fluoride and the cancer and the chemotherapy and the radiation and all the rest. They don't need to explode anything. All they need to do is just have it be status quo. And
As I said before, yes, we're declining in our numbers because of all this, and also declining in the longevity. And nobody else is saying this.
Sure.
I've said it, I came across this about 3 or 4 years ago. I said, first, it's going to happen in the United States. We've peaked, I said. And anyway,
sure. It's our fertility. We're not.
Yes. Oh,
we're
infertile. Yes. The male sperm, the last 50 years of the male sperm is been decimated.
Right.
I mean, every which way you look, we're checking out as a species. So it's brought to us by, I mean, it's their system that we're running under, whether it be capitalism or communism. As you know, they're both two sides of the same coin. It's a Jewish run system, as you know, to say, and they use these kind of different capitalism and communism to think that there's a difference. When I remember when I was younger, I said, I looked at the distribution of wealth between the two systems, and I'm talking like 30 years ago or more. And I went, oh my, I found that the distribution of wealth in the capitalist and the communist system were very close to each other.
Sure.
And,
well, they invented the both systems.
Yeah.
And they both control labor and credit. It is all also controlled by just a small minority. So, it's
yeah,
amazing.
This is why, you know, people do have a leg to stand on when they say it's a very small group of the Jews that are really running the financial systems, the central banks. But they're somehow, a lot of them are getting money from this, filtered down. And let me say this, that from the best estimates there are, census, the Jewish numbers are actually going down in the United States. It's at 1.7% right now. And I don't know if I believe this, but that's what the numbers are saying. Also, that's in the United States. They're now 1.7% of the United States' population, 1.71 to be exact. And across the world, they're roughly 0.2%.
Well, that's because in the United States they've changed their names,
yes,
or
yes,
they're leaving because they know that the United States is being decimated. They probably all went to China, where things are moving and people are, they're building and they're building roads and they have fast trains and everything else.
Yeah,
so actually, when you see all of the Jews leave, that's when you know that this country is toast.
Anyway, back to the document. That was a great sidetrack. Thank you for the question, because it is actually really one of the I like these kind of questions. That's one of the most important questions anybody could ever ask on this subject. And so, as I said, treat these people as fellow humans when you're talking about their tribe to them. Stick with the facts. Don't try to get too emotional about it, even though it's hard not to, because the atrocity they've inflicted on the Gentiles of the world throughout the last 4,000 years. So, but stay with the facts when you're dealing with them, and very calm and collective, and you will, it may not be the first layer of the onion that gets their Jewishness out. And I'm not trying to provoke them here. Like I said, do it very, very nice. But it may be the second layer. And if it's not the second layer, I will guarantee you it will be the third layer. And they mm-hmm. will show their Jewishness to you. And this is, like I said, in and of itself is the problem, that they don't want to look in the mirror and ask, why are we doing this to the rest of the world?
Well, it isn't just a matter of that they're causing wars and doing those big obvious things. It's the fact that one-on-one, and I used to work in the textile industry, and that they own the textile industry. And
yeah.
on a personal level, they will try to cheat you. That's just the way it is. They want the upper hand in any business deal. There was one that I worked for that was very nice, but I knew that he was cheating on his wife with his assistant. So, I mean, it's, I guess a lot of people, goys, cheat on their wives too. But with Jews, it's just kind of expected that that's what they do.
Well, I'm not going to go off on a side tangent on that, but yet you're right. I have found, I was brought up in New York City, and I drove a taxi at night in Manhattan for on and off while I went to school and then some, because I enjoyed it. But it could be another show or two about the stories I have. And like I said, I always try to treat people equally.
Sure.
I still do, except I'm quite weary of these people now. I treat them with respect and equality, but I try not to deal with them at all, is
sure.
what it comes down to, because, it's the only people I ever kicked out of my taxi were, I remember these three male Jews, and they said something, and it was sort of like a double entendre, and I said, did they just play with me? I'm sure they did.
Sure.
And I just said, let it go. And I did, and then they hit me again. And I just stopped the car and opened the back door and said, get out. And they were like, huh? And I don't get violent, but I said, I started getting a little macho and, mm-hmm. and told them, get out now. And they did. But this is just one little aspect of my own personal story. Of them. So.
And we all have personal stories.
Yep.
Anyway, we are going to a 3-minute break. We do have some callers lining up, so we will be back in 3 minutes.
are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Our guest today is Mark R. Elsis. His website is holocaustrevisionism.com. Mark, why don't we go ahead and take a quick call? We've had somebody hanging on here for quite some time. Kent in West Virginia, welcome.
Yeah, welcome. A couple of things. There is one Israeli that I've been hearing about quite a bit, and I've heard of Miko Peled. He's the he's the son of a general.
Yeah.
And,
right. Mm-hmm.
And he seems to be very authentic, and he's been doing interviews all around the world. His name is
I tried to get him on my program, but
has he been on your program?
No, I tried to get him on my program. I emailed him, but I never got a response.
Yeah. Well, he does very good interviews anyway. I mean, hopefully he'll be on yours, but he does. I heard him in New Zealand, MIKOPELED.com. And,
right.
So seems pretty authentic. And,
correct.
And about the only, there is another group that seems, it's kind of odd, is the Roma, what we call the Gypsies, the Europeans call the Roma. And the irony of there is that, of course, the Gypsies got their name thinking they were from Egypt, but I think they're now believed to have originated in somewhere in the area of India. And, of course, the Jews of Europe, who claim to be from the Middle East as well, the neighboring Egypt. Actually, they come from Central Asia as well. So there's, of course, the Roma, you know, they're not nearly, there's as big a trouble as the Jews. And concerning the control of the media, every time I look anything up on the Internet, right there at the top is this Wikipedia thing, which they own and control. And now I've been doing a little research on the USS Liberty, and there's another one. It's called the Jewish Virtual Library.
Yep.
Oh,
up
right.
There at
that's
the
a good site.
So I don't know what, you know, and then if you always on, if you look up anything, what, you know, is quote unquote the alternative, right there at the top is this InfoWars with this, that stuntman down there in the Austin that they have, you know. So they're covering all the bases, you know. You don't really know where to turn.
You brought up, there's another person, Mordecai Vanunu, who in 1986, I was going to get into him later on, but, you know, he outed their Dimona nuclear power plant and at the time 150 to 200 nuclear weapons, and then got honey trapped and kidnapped and thrown in solitaire for 12 years and in prison for 19. Now he's more or less a house prisoner in Israel. So he actually, and he's converted to, I believe, Christianity or Catholicism. I'm not sure. So it's there are a few, and you're correct with this general. I've listened to some of his things. I almost don't trust any of them anymore.
Yeah, it seems too good to be true, doesn't it?
if there's six sides to a story, they'll have people on every side.
Yeah.
And it confuses the matter. So, and this is another thing that I've learned. So, yeah, I have, you know, you're correct, and he seems very good. There's also a couple of writers out there, Jewish writers that you know, I keep on, you know, seeing around every which
Paul
way.
Paul Eisen's good. I mean, he writes some good stuff.
And the Gillids, whatever his name is.
Gilead
and
Otzman.
Mm-hmm. And Linderman and, you know.
Yeah, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, they're, you know, I don't read their stuff. So I don't know if that makes me whatever, but I can't fully trust them anymore. I'll. That's the way it is with me. So you know, and it's sort of bad. A few years ago, I would read their stuff, and you know, like Greg Palast and all this kind of and it was like it turned out to be poison,
yeah.
And so it sort of shunned me away from the whole lot of them, and. Which is what I said earlier.
The 95.5%
kind of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you never know it, because of the history now that I know of these people, I can't give them any trust. I'm sorry. You know, and that's really, it's a horrendously bad thing to say, especially for me who is really open and wanting to know, because it sort of takes away a school of thought. But I don't want to sort of poison my mind with any more of their indoctrination. You know, I get it everywhere I look anyway.
Yeah, well, maybe if Miko won't come on Deanna's show, maybe that tips it there, you know, because he's appearing like on Radio New Zealand and all around the world. I mean, you know, selling books, I guess, and, you know, telling a good tale, but he should come on with somebody like Deanna who, you know, but, well, that maybe that's the litmus test, Deanna. Maybe you're the litmus
maybe
test.
Maybe so. Mm-hmm.
It's all the right, name of the show.
Thank you, Kent.
Yeah. It's you brought up a very good point. It's and that I remember that general. I've listened to part of his speeches, and it sounds excellent, you know. But anyway, you know, back to number five is that this is we're talking about the Talmud, and they talk about and Jesus Christ, the bastard boy who uncovered his head and was conceived in the filth of menstruation. They also talk about the Blessed Mary. They say that Jesus' mother was a whore. She who was descendant of princes and governors, played the harlot with carpenters. And Jesus' mother, Miriam, the hairdresser, had sex with many men. So this is, quote, these are all quotes from the Talmud.
And of course, I think a lot of Christians don't read that. They don't know about what they think about them. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back in, 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution. Having problems with your mortgage? Have you heard of all the mortgage fraud? Could you be a victim? WhatLiesInYourDebt.com can help you turn harassing phone calls and letters into cold, hard cash. Discover how people just like you are making thousands of dollars holding debt collectors accountable for their misdeeds. Don't wait. Empower yourself today. Go to WhatLiesInYourDebt.com. We promise it pays to know. That's WhatLiesInYourDebt.com to find your solution.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Mark R. Elsis. The website is HolocaustRevisionism.com. And I must admit that I do read some of their stuff. I am subscribed to several of their websites. It is amazing when you, the things that they admit and the things that they say, they come right out and admit things. And you can get a lot of information. And when you republish or restate some of the things that they say, then they cannot deny that that they are the source, and they cannot deny the accusation, the words, you know, because they're making these admissions themselves. And currently, I'm speed reading "Viral Hate Containing Its Spread on the Internet" by Abe Foxman and Christopher Wolfe. And I'm doing that because, well, I'm doing it really fast because I don't want to waste any good time. Because when you look at some of the things that are going on right now, the censorship, the Paula Deen issue, this trial between, oh gosh, name slipped my mind, oh, I can't think of their names. The Spanish gentleman that shot Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman. That trial, all of these things are kind of happening at the same time, and you have to kind of wonder, boy, they're sure coordinating all of this really well, aren't they? And what they're doing is that they are going to implement the hate crime laws that have been on the books for a long, long time. What do you think, Mark?
You bring up good points that like I said, I used to read different Jewish writers and filmmakers, and but it seems to be a limited hangout type of thing.
Oh, absolutely.
But yet, you're correct in what you state very well, in that they do tell you about some of the smaller atrocities that their tribe does, and they sort of kiss and tell about it, and that you can then use as more ammunition in when you write. So you're correct in what you say there, and it is. That's why partially I was going to get into that it's almost wrong of me not to get into some of these, I guess, better Jewish writers to see.
Well, I think
what
you
saying.
Have to pick and choose depending on what your objectives are.
Yeah.
I'm looking for specific information about reparations and that kind of thing. Specific. You have to be really specific when you go searching, because otherwise you'll waste a lot of valuable time.
Yeah, because they'll, like I said, if there's six sides of an argument, they've created four or five of them.
Sure.
and are just there to, it's like a ping pong game. It just goes back and forth with their, it's like the 9/11 things. They probably had the 9/11 group started before 9/11 even happened.
Oh, absolutely. Sure
they did. Or the Wikipedia. I mean, I remember when, you know, I wrote it about 9/11 very early. I was one of the earliest writers, and one of the earliest writers that actually said it was Israel that was behind it, and with the five dancing Israelis and that. And, you know, it's my work was number one. My timeline was number one in Google for whatever it was, 10 years. And just recently, all of my work, ever since I came out with this document, all of my work is not number one or number two or number three, which it used to be. When you put in like stolen election or 9/11 timeline or starvation or all these keywords, these big keywords, mm-hmm. they're not there anymore. Some of mm-hmm. them are just gone. And you do see the person that was just on the Wikipedia. When I was sourcing the 1,000 sources, sourced hot links for Holocaust revisionism, Wikipedia is there number one or number two on just everyone, every source that you can almost put in. And so, of course, it's a Jewish-run enterprise to, once again, limited hangout type of thing. They did put one out, which I was going to get to. It's somewhere deep in this document about the history of the Jews. I can't remember the exact – I was astonished because they actually gave a listing of all the different places the Jews were kicked out of. And I was like, oh, my God. But they used the excuse that it was always the other person. But it showed, of course, the ludicrousness of that statement.
Yeah, they play it off as, oh, look how we've been victimized and look how persecuted we've been throughout history. And they never ask the question.
Yeah, well, that's why my math gets to me. It's like, well,
sure.
I can it to like somebody going into a bar and the bartender kicks you out. You go into the next bar, the bartender kicks you out. Well, you do this, you know, a couple hundred times. It's the bartender
right.
all the time. It's right. not you.
Boy, those bartenders are terrible.
They really are. Especially those Irish bartenders. Anyway, so it's – you have – I was going to get on with it. In the 79 countries, one of them was England in on July 18th, 1290. They had enough of them in England, and they kicked the like 17,000 Jews out of England. And it lasted for almost 400 years. They started sneaking back in the 1650s under Cromwell and started getting a little foothold and breaking down the laws against them, even though they were still on the books. And it sort of fell apart with what is called the Glorious Revolution of 1689 in England, where they were more or less freely let back in. And within 4 years, somehow the first bank, really the first major bank of the world, the Bank of England, is started. So you have these people whittling their way back into England, and very quickly upon getting back in, this bank is started, and Not to say they were fully in control of it right off the start, but they sometimes it takes generations and generations and or hundreds of years to fulfill what you're looking for. And they have a much longer range plan of coercive ways about doing things than we can fathom. And this is one of them. I mean, by, you know, after Waterloo of 1815, everybody knows the story. The Rothschilds' messengers, the pigeon got there faster than England, and they started selling off the bonds, and everybody else bought, sold off the bonds. And all of a sudden, the Rothschilds scooped up everything at pennies on the dollar, and thereafter, more or less, seemed to be in full control of what is known as United Kingdom. So it took them maybe 125 years or whatever to fully get control of the financial institutions and therefore everything else, because in England. And so then we can fast forward to the French Revolution, which was rather convoluted, but from what I've gathered, they seem to be in back of this French Revolution also. And
Jacobians and yeah.
Yep. It's, so you have them starting the French Revolution, and then I have another one. Is by the way, I skipped over one called what is it? Col Nodre.
Where they make promises in public.
Right. The atonement, their day of atonement, and they make promises, and they're it's just lies. They get atoned for all the lies that they tell to the Gentiles. This is sent the day before Yom Kippur, I believe.
Right, so September this is or something.
Yeah, right. It's early September, mid September. So this is, but it's a major thing. It's their holiest prayer,
right?
And the prayer is lie.
Right.
And so it's excuse me for not giving it its due amount of time, but you get the gist of that one. And you know, it's when I found out that the Jews also controlled the slave trade, I was sort of astonished, because you know I was under the guilt of it was those white Southerners, and then I remember hearing something David Duke said. Or read it or whatever, and it was he said that along with Professor Martin, who just passed away, I believe earlier this year, who did a lot of wonderful work on this.
Tony Martin.
Yep. But Duke, I believe, said that the it was much less than 5% of the Southern families.
Owned
slaves. Whereas almost 50% of the Jewish families in the South owned slaves.
And the North.
In the South.
But they also owned them in the North.
Oh, yes, yes.
They started the slave trade up North.
It was started in Charleston, South Carolina, and Newport, Rhode Island.
Right.
Where's the major hub of going back to Africa and then going to the get the rum, and it was a whole trading kind of thing. But yeah,
triangle trade.
Yeah, it was. This is why Newport, by the way, is like they have all these mansions in Newport, and the Tennis Hall of Fame is there. Anyway, it's and Charleston is like a noted real city. You have them controlling around 85% or so, it seems like, of the slave trade. And I remember Professor Martin saying. That when he more or less stumbled upon this, he was a black man, he stumbled upon this, and he went to all the people that had something to do with the slave trade. They all said, "We're very sorry for this," except for one group who attacked him, and of course this was the Jews. They're not sorry for it. They're not sorry for it, and we're gonna freaking get you for saying it.
Right.
So it's just a little. It just doesn't stop this kind of. It's sort of like I also throw into it they control the seven deadly sins. What is known as the seven deadly sins are the vices known to man. They control each one of these. And they know that by controlling the vices of humanity, they can then control humanity. It's just another huge way, you know, whether it be pornography, drugs, whatever, have you. And with the drug industry, it was interesting earlier this year, HSBC, one of the world's largest banks, got caught red-handed, once again, another major bank, laundering tens of billions of dollars worth of drugs, money. And nobody went to jail. They got fined $1.9 billion, which is about 3 or 4 weeks' profit to them. So it's all, you know, part of doing business. But, you know, it's just interesting that we have this war on drugs, and we have around 2.3 million people behind bars in this country, more per capita than any other country in the world, more than China, which has four times our population. And 62% of them, five out of every eight of them there, are for nonviolent drug offenses. So we have this big war on drugs, but it's interesting. And who controls the drug trade? And who, not only the slave trade, but who controls the drug trade is the Jews. And they have forever.
Also the liquor trade.
Yes, they have. I remember reading in the International, the Dearborn Independent, the Henry Ford's paper, a great story on the whole, how they took over the liquor industry and then how they watered down the liquor.
Exactly. Yeah. I covered that in one of my books, too.
Oh, did you? Yeah. When I read this story, I don't know what it was, 8, 9 years ago, I was like, everything they touch.
And they put chemicals in it that had a greater effect on people than the actual pure liquor, alcohol.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
The whiskey that they were making in Kentucky.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it was just once they touch something, they try to. It's like all the 400 different chemicals in tobacco now.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have to break it all up, and so they can extract the most profit.
Yeah,
they don't want to distill whiskey. It takes what, 6 years. They'd rather do it in 6 hours and make more money.
Yes, exactly. And to hell, because on the back end of it, we're making money too, because we own the medical profession. So if they get sick, we get it coming and going. Thank you very much. It's I don't know if this is all premeditated or just greed, but the greed is I think it is now a grand scheme. That works together like seamlessly. Like I'm saying, they control all these the organ trading. Huh? The organ trading, you know, killing little Palestinian children that are throwing rocks at them, and then, you know, grabbing their bodies and slicing them open, taking the I didn't want to.
And they do that when they're alive, you know.
Oh, geez, please.
To be alive to be an organ donor.
Or very shortly after they died, yes.
No, they have to be alive.
Really? I thought you could happen within a half hour or an hour.
No. They extract organs from live people, and in the extraction, in the harvesting, it kills the body. You have to have a circulation. In order for your heart to work, it has to have circulation. Your mind has to be going. Your mind has to be telling your body what to do. No, they are alive. When you sign up to be an organ donor, you are signing up to donate your body if you have a car accident or something like that and you could otherwise recover. If you're an organ donor, they're going to start prepping you for harvest.
Right. If you're brain dead, that's the way they get around it.
That is a new definition of death that they made up in 1968, 67.
Yep.
By heart, 13 people at Harvard. And I've tried to find out the names of those people.
Well,
probably all end in Berg or something.
Or Stein or...
We do have some callers.
Perhaps Meadows or...
Yes. Why don't we take a call? Let's take Jim from Georgia. Oh, Jim just dropped. Whoops.
Jim, come back.
Jim, all righty. Let's take Ben from New York. Ben, real quick.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, you guys?
Well, good. But I'm not a guy. I'm not a guy, Ben.
Well, excuse me. Okay, I apologize. I don't mean it in that sense, but it's just a slang term that we use. Everybody uses.
I know.
It's Portuguese. You sound very, very low.
Okay. Your comments or question?
Well, I'm just referring to many of his points. He was saying that a lot of Jews, as you say, that the six sides to the story, because a lot of these Jews, they give you a little truth, and they still adhere to the teachings, which is Talmudic, whether you're a Jew, non-Jew, it's all the same thing. And the whole thing is that when a Jew says, I am not a Jew, they can participate, it's when he's honest in the truth, especially on the truth that he says, on truth, there's no alteration in truth, it got to be either straight up truth, because if he's sidestepping, then you know you have a problem here. Because either you accept the truth in its entirety, or you don't accept it. And the Jews, even in this alternative media, like Alex Jones, I one time I tried calling him, explained to him I'm a Jew. Not that I'm a Jew per se, But I was trying to explain to him of the evils, and he wanted to scream at me on the air. That type of manner. So, you know what I mean? And he hung up on me, and he started ranting. And that type of manner. I go, this guy's a freaking idiot. So the whole thing is that, yes, like Springo, I found, when I found you, that was a breath of fresh air. Because I was the only one at the talking, how nobody was talking about the Jew, and then you had this guy named Charles Giuliani, who was on this topic also. And there is an awakening, and they feel that. That's why they want to pass, like, these hate laws. Like you said, like, I said, I'm going to say, Benji, what do you think happened in Newton? I said, this is Jew. The Boston, this is Jew. And if you look at the old newspaper, you see it. Oh, Israeli medical team is published to Boston attack.
Gentlemen, we do have to cut to a break. We will be right back in 3 minutes. Thanks, Ben, for your phone call.
Okay.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
This is Deanna, and our guest today, I don't know where the time has flown, but it certainly has. Our guest today has been Mark R. Elsas, and his website where you can read this document is HolocaustRevisionism.com, and we do have some other callers. Should we go ahead and take another call?
Sure.
Let's take Ted in Georgia. Ted, welcome to the program. Yo, Ted.
I agree with all the comments on the modern history of Jews, but I have a whole different take on the ancient history of the Jews. You go back and read around Abraham, God said his seed would number as the stars of the skies, as the sands of the seashore. The Jews numbered nothing like that. They don't fit that picture whatever. I urge you to get a book by Charles Weissman, who is Esau Edom. He traces the Edomites down through Babylon, through the Talmud, into the New Testament Pharisees, and into modern history of the Jews. Judaism is not Old Testament religion. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Old Testament nor the New Testament. I have something like a dozen books tracing our white ancestors back to the tribes of Israel. One of them traces the history of the Caucasian race the ten tribes of Israel were captured by Assyria and held for almost a century in the Caucasus Mountains. Well, the Caucasian
I think you're talking about CI, Christian identity kinds of things.
I can hardly hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think you're referring to a philosophy called Christian identity. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I call it more racial identity than Christian identity.
All righty. I don't go back that far. Mark, what are your thoughts on that?
I am not an expert on all the nuances of the Jews, but it was the Talmud came after the Old and New Testament, so he sort of said something backwards there. But I'd like to say two quotes from two different men, if I may,
sure,
that are in this document. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system that has conscripted vast human and material resources into building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. John Fitzgerald Kennedy. The second quote, played golf with Joe Kennedy. Asked him about the conversations with Roosevelt and Neville Chamberlain in 1938. Among other things, he said that Hitler would have fought against Soviet Russia without seeking a later conflict with England if there were not for Bullitt and Roosevelt's insistence in the summer of 1939 to humiliate Germany by means of Poland.
Exactly.
Neither France or Britain would have made Poland a cause of war had it not been for Washington's constant prodding. Chamberlain was convinced that the USA and world Jewry had forced England into war. James Forrestal. Both these men were assassinated.
Churchill had Chamberlain killed.
Yeah, yes, and Forrestal was also assassinated.
Exactly.
And so was John F. Kennedy, of course. Yep.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. All righty. Mark, we've ran out of time. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Deanna.
All righty. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Have a wonderful day. Talk to you tomorrow.